The title of this message is Judaism is not Jewish. Judaism is not Jewish is also the title of a book by Baruch Ma'oz, and then it says a friendly critique of the Messianic movement. That's the subhead on it. This was reviewed by a friend of Garrett's recently, Richard Harvey, who Garrett says is one of the chief Messianic scholars in our time. And we'll make that available on the web as well, a link to that. The book itself and the article on it are really quite interesting, and hopefully this message will be something that will bring honor to that as well. The review intrigued me enough that I went and bought it, as you can see. So I haven't completely read it, but I'm in the process. Certainly the title of the book, Judaism is Not Jewish, and using the same title for this message could lend itself to misunderstandings. But in the least, it is evocative, and I am hopeful the message will open understanding rather than diminish it. However, when approaching this kind of topic, I feel it is important to understand that a backlash could ensue. Thus, I would like to begin with a qualification, one in which Baruch actually addresses well in one of his chapters. And the chapter is titled, Is It Important for Jews in Messiah to Remain Jews? This is what Baruch says. It most definitely is, although we have no right to condemn any who choose to opt out of the Jewish nation, intermingle with the Gentiles, and lose their Jewish identity, at least not on religious grounds, even though the loss of any Jew to the nation is painful. On the other hand, we should unhesitatingly reject the opinion of those who, on purported biblical grounds, deny the right of Jews to remain such in Messiah, or who have themselves chosen that option for purportedly biblical reasons, the embarrassing historical facts. This has been the position of the church for almost two millennia. The church insisted that Jews who believe in Jesus are no longer Jewish. The fourth century confession of faith of the Church of Constantinople requires professed Jewish converts to declare, I do here and now renounce every right and observance of the Jewish religion, detesting all its former days I kept and held. In other public statements, Jewish converts were required to affirm, I altogether shun all intercourse and all with other Jews and will have the circle of my friends only among honest Christians, nor will I associate with the cursed Jews who remain unbaptized. They were called upon to promise that they would never return to the vomit of my former error or associate with the wicked Jews. In every respect, I will lead the Christian life and associate with Christians. That's another quote. As far as the family members are concerned, we will not, on any pretext, either ourselves or our descendants, choose wives from among our own race. But in the case of both sexes, we will always link ourselves with Christians. Such stringent unchristian language bespeaks an antagonism that must be thoroughly cleansed from the church. It also, pardon? Correct. According to Baruch, that's right. This was from the 4th century confession of faith of the Church of Constantinople. Okay? And he goes on to say, such stringent unchristian language bespeaks an antagonism that must be thoroughly cleansed from the church. It also serves to insist that there is a contradiction between being Jewish and believing in the Jewish Messiah. He goes on to say, any insistence upon discontinuity between Jewish identity and faith in Jesus inherently implies a discontinuity between the Old Testament and the New. In other words, the claim that loyalty to Jesus requires a rejection of one's Jewish identity is to imply that Jesus is not the Messiah promised to Israel. If he is not Israel's Messiah, he is no Messiah at all, for no other Messiah is spoken of in either the Old or New Testament. There are no biblical grounds to require or encourage Jews to reject their national identity in order to serve God. That is why Rausch was so right to quote Fanny Peltz, a Jewish Christian, who stated that In accepting Jesus, I was not giving up anything Jewish. But please note, we are speaking here of Jewishness as a national identity. When we speak of a religious identity, we must admit that we are Christians because Judaism is not biblical, while the true message of Christianity is. The rabbis claim that a change of religion necessarily leads to a loss of national identity, and the majority of our people have bought into that theory. But it is wrong, and it is contrary to the rabbis' own halakha, that is their religious dictum, which states, Af al pi sheketa Yisrael hu, although he has sinned, he still belongs to Israel. We need to challenge the rabbinic tyranny over our people, not submit to it. Baruch's book is actually a critique of the Messianic movement. Baruch begins his discourse first by explaining that Judaism, over the last 2,000 years, has evolved from a biblically based institution to a religion founded upon the writings and principles of rabbis. As such, it has abandoned biblical prophecy and scriptural guidance. It is thus a religion of men and not of God. An excerpt from Christian Witness to Israel, an article titled Judaism Today, should help emphasize that point. Everything changed for Jewish religion when the temple was destroyed in 70 AD. This is illustrated in the ancient rabbinic volume, Sayings of the Fathers, otherwise known as Pirkei Avot. We are told that Simon the Just, who lived prior to the destruction of the temple, used to say, By three things is the world sustained, by the law, by the temple service, and by deeds of loving kindness. Former Chief Rabbi Dr. Joseph Hertz comments that the temple service originally meant the sacrificial cult of the temple. After the destruction of the temple, Judaism had to come to terms with the fact that one of the sustaining pillars of the world, sacrifice, had been removed. So in the same chapter of Sayings of the Fathers, we read that Simeon ben Gamaliel, who lived in the second century, taught that the world is sustained by truth, by judgment, and by peace. He took sacrifice out of it. And since then, rabbinic Judaism has followed that initial error. Though Judaism is often described as the oldest established religion predating Christianity by some 1,500 years, this idea rests on the false assumption that Judaism today is a continuation of the religion of the Old Testament. Nicholas DeLange, in his book Judaism, says, There is not longer a widely accepted yardstick against which any particular belief or practice, any sect or ideology can be measured. There are many different expressions of Judaism, each claiming authenticity for itself but not recognized as definitely authentic by the others. In Jews and Christians, the myth of a common tradition, Jewish author Jacob Neusner admits that modern Judaism is not based on the Bible alone. He quotes, Christianity is the religion of the Bible. Judaism is the religion of the Talmud. Judaism has added to the scripture a body of tradition which is accorded equal authority with the Word of God. Christianity alone accepts the Bible as the final authority in matters of faith and practice. When the Mishnah says that Moses received the law from Sinai and committed it to Joshua and Joshua to the elders, it is not referring to the Ten Commandments but to the oral tradition, an unwritten explanation of the meaning enshrined in the text as expounded and unfolded by the interpretation of successive generations of sages who made its implicit divine teachings explicit. This is the same backdrop to which I believe Baruch Maoz intended to view modern Judaism. What does this have to do with us who are involved in Messianic Judaism? Quite a bit, actually. There is a modern heresy among Messianic Jews today which seeks to supplant the freedom we have in Messiah with the restrictions and obedience of and to Orthodox rabbinical dictum. One of its basic tenets is that as Jews, we must remain Jews and not assimilate into the Gentile Christian culture. It's not a bad thought, actually. But it takes that presumption and then follows a train of thought which says, what is the standard we can use to determine what is Jewish? Their logic causes them to conclude that what the world recognizes as Jewish is actually Orthodox or Hasidic Judaism, and they claim it for themselves. The inevitable result is that they end up following the dictates of the rabbis and move farther and farther away from the teachings of Yeshua and the apostles, indeed the core teachings of the New Testament. If anything, they end up paying lip service to the Messiah, but heart service to the rabbis. This is similar to the heresy that the Apostle Paul dealt with in the book of Galatians. First of all, some of these Messianic Jews insist that their version of Messianic Judaism is what all Messianic Jews must follow. They encourage Jewish Christians to leave their churches and join their Messianic congregations or synagogues. Adherence to modern rabbinic practices and Old Testament ceremonial laws are often emphasized to the point of exclusion of Messiah Yeshua. Some are teaching that it is a sin for Jewish Christians not to keep kosher. What Paul particularly addressed in Galatians is their turning away from the truth of the good news, the truth of the new covenant, which is the fulfillment of the promise of God to Abraham. His point is that the promise of God to Abraham is the promise that God intends for us. It is, in fact, that which is fulfilled in Messiah Yeshua, essentially the new covenant promised by Ezekiel, chapters 36, verse 24 to 27, and Jeremiah, chapter 31, 31 following, among others. From Acts 11, verses 2 and 3, it is quite clear that many of the early Jewish believers did not understand the implications of God's new covenant either. To quote, "And when Peter came up to Jerusalem, those of the circumcision contended with him, saying, 'You went in to uncircumcised men and ate with them.'" So it wasn't just Paul, but Peter also had to deal with this. In spite of 2,000 years of history, many of those who have claimed inheritance with the Messiah are still confused about the new covenant promise. As Paul implies, the law of Moses was intended only as an interim covenant, and in fact was added because of transgressions. Galatians 3, verses 17 through 19. "And this I say, that the Torah, which was 430 years later, cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before by God in the Messiah, that it should make the promise of no effect. For if the inheritance is of the Torah, it is no longer of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. What purpose then does this Torah serve? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator." To repeat from verse 19, "What purpose then does the Torah serve? It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come whom the promise was made." In the current heresy of orthodoxy, the Messianic Jews' insistence that they are following Torah is nothing more than a subterfuge, a ruse. In reality, they are following a form of rabbinic Judaism, which ought to be challenged, not embraced. Along the same lines, Baruch Ma'oz challenges the evangelical church to renew its recognition of the Bible, not rabbinic Judaism, as the roots of its faith. Likewise, some Gentile Christians join the Messianic movement, believing they have found the roots of their faith. This is a tragedy that is exacerbated by the Orthodox Messianic Jewish heresy. Essentially, the error of today's Orthodox Messianic Judaism is the same we find in the book of Galatians. Thus, I will end by reading chapter 3. And if you would like to read along, you're welcome to open your passages there. Galatians chapter 3. I'll give you a second. "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Yeshua HaMashiach has been clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the Torah, or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the Torah or by hearing with faith? Just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the nations by faith, preached the good news to Abraham beforehand, saying, 'In you all the nations will be blessed.' So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the Torah are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the Torah to do them. But that no one is justified by the Torah in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the Torah is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. The Messiah has redeemed us from the curse of the Torah, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Messiah Yeshua, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak in the manner of men. Though it is only a man's covenant, yet if it is confirmed, no one annuls or adds to it. Now to Abraham and to his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is the Messiah. And this I say, that the Torah, which was 430 years later, cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before by God in the Messiah, that it should make the promise of no effect. For if the inheritance is of the Torah, it is no longer of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. What purpose then does the Torah serve? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator does not mediate for one only, but God is one. Is the Torah then against the promises of God? Certainly not, for if there had been a Torah given which could have given life, truly righteousness would have come by the Torah. But the Scripture has confined all under guard by the Torah, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore the Torah was our schoolmaster to bring us to the Messiah, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For you are all sons of God by faith in Messiah Yeshua. For as many of you as have been immersed into Messiah have put on Messiah. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Messiah Yeshua. And if you are Messiahs, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. If you will pray with me. Lord, we ask that you would bring those that are in sin and heresy to their senses and cause them to come back into the fold of the light and the fruit of Yeshua. And we ask that you would give grace to those of us who have been blessed to walk out of that and help us to minister to those who come out. We ask you, Lord, that you would bring light not only to the Gentiles, but to the Jews as well. And we ask that you would help us as a congregation to share that good news of Yeshua, the true good news that comes by hearing of the word, not by the law of Moses, as it were. We ask you, Lord, that you would give us grace and peace as we share the good news of Messiah with all. In Yeshua's name, amen.
I feel like the things that Robert was talking about was pretty important and actually fairly controversial. And I thought it'd be of value just to make sure that you guys got some of his main points and if you wanted some clarification on any of them. Were you able to grasp the main thrust of his argument? It's fairly important. He's saying there's a big difference between Jewishness and Judaism. That Judaism at its heart is not being part of the Jewish nation. It's a religion which is basically Talmudic and not necessarily based on the Bible. Therefore, as a Messianic Jew today, your Jewish identity is not staked in, you know, the classic error we make is that we think in order to be Jewish, and we are part of the Jewish nation, I'm a Jewish believer now, is now to then, I must obey Judaism and the rabbinic interpretations of the Scripture. That's basically Baruch Moses' main point. He says, no, that's a flaw. You know, he's saying that's a wrong way to look at this thing. And even the church oftentimes, he's saying the evangelical church's error is think in order to get to the roots of my faith, I must go by way of Judaism. As opposed to like cutting down to where Yeshua was and the Jewish, at that point, I've got to go through rabbinic Judaism. And he's saying, no, that's through a flawed view of the Scripture. Is this the right thing? It's a very radical thing. That's why I'm thinking. I think it's an important thing. When he said this, I go, I hope you're catching this stuff because it's controversial, and I think it is an error a lot of folks make. So that's all I wanted. If anyone wanted to, any questions, if everyone's clear on from this.
And if you're afraid to speak, you can wait till afterward. But
yes. Yes. Right. Okay. Do you want me to? I'll be glad to. The thing is this. Rav Shaul, Paul, said, maybe I can't quote it properly up here, but Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, was speaking about foods you eat, okay? And you've got to think of, I'm all of a sudden at a blank on that.
Well, he's saying that, you know, that no food in itself is unclean.
Right. Thank you.
That no food in itself is unclean. But one of the idea is that, you know, actually, I think from a biblical standpoint, actually to eat kosher, not to eat kosher, both are okay.
Right.
If a Jewish believer today wants to eat kosher, that's fine. But the idea is it that you may choose to eat kosher or may not to, or that you ought to?
Right.
In order to be a Jewish believer, you must now follow kosher rules. You must follow the rabbinic tradition.
Right.
And that's what we're saying is an error. I think it's okay for a Jewish believer to eat kosher.
Me too.
Mind
I do too. Right.
I'm saying why is being an option. If you have free
correct.
Not to or to do.
Right. Thank you. That's good. And also, it's not just kosher. It's with every other part of life. It has to do with the freedom. Okay? Now, you remember the quote from Acts 11, okay, that Peter was came in contact. When he came back to Jerusalem, the Jewish believers confronted him, and they said, how dare you? And I'm just paraphrasing, obviously. How dare you eat with Gentiles? Okay? Well, Peter recognized maybe before he went to, you know, was at Simon the Tanner's house and went off to the centurion's place. Before all that, he probably would have felt the same way. But God showed him something different. What we see in the early New Testament is a progression of understanding. It's not that things had actually changed radically. Yeshua even spoke to the disciples and he said, you know, do you not also understand this? You know, he was with them for 3 years. And, you know, he said when he died, he was going to start revealing things to them. And so it took time, over time. And one of the tragedies is that we were asking non-Jews that became believers, they were wanting to force them to become circumcised. And Paul says, you know, circumcision and uncircumcision in regards to faith means nothing. And it doesn't. But if you take on the yoke of circumcision, then you need to take on the rest of the law, right?
I think it's interesting to also put the other side in. Richard Harvey's critique of this book and a lot of these thoughts, he would say, but in a sense, Judaism and Jewishness has become interlocked in a way.
Correct.
You know, that you can't so neatly separate them out. Part of our sense of Jewish, when we're coming here expressing our Jewishness, we're reading the Shema and the Baruch Hu, which are traditional, you know, prayers developed through the lens of rabbinic Judaism. And so in many ways you can't escape it. We're still going to celebrate a holiday, still going to do a lot of things the way rabbinic Judaism is done. But still, the why to do it is the critical aspect. Is it because you have to or because you choose to do it? And that's the huge difference as to the New Testament, the New Covenant, is you choose to do it, you may do it. So go ahead, Joel.
Correct. Correct. Well, the key is that it's a minor. The major thing is to understand and to know Yeshua is Lord. You know, if you constantly remember that what sacrifice was made, You know what? If you do that, then all these other things are not going to make a lot of difference, right? So anyway,
your main point is the may and have to argument has come out of an incorrect understanding.
Right.
The whole point is like, the reason we end up with may or have to problem is because we belong.
I didn't hear that.
No. He delights in a pure heart, you know. Yeah, we wouldn't deny that we keep these things ourselves, right? But not forcing, right?
I just thought it'd be nice. But
thank you.
Thank you, Robert. Thanks, Garrett. We're going to continue our service with Adon Olam. You know, in light of Robert's message, you know, it's interesting. My grandmother is a believer, became a believer when she was 78 years old, and is out in San Francisco, Bay Area. And there's no congregation where she is. And every time I tell her about, oh, we had Shabbat this week, and I was like, she's devastated because she so longs to be able to celebrate Shabbat with other believers. And we have a very special thing here. And that as Jews, we can celebrate with Jews and non-Jews together in a Jewish context, celebrating our Messiah. And now let's continue, if you would please stand. As we sing Ein Keloheinu, there is none like our God, none like our Lord, none like our King, none like our Savior. Ein Keloheinu, Ein Kadoneinu, Ein Kemalkeinu, Ein Kemoshienu, Mi Keloheinu, Mi Kadoneinu, Mi Kemalkeinu, Mi Kemoshienu. No de Eloheinu, No de Ladoneinu, No de le malkeinu, no de le moshienu. Baruch Eloheinu, Baruch Adoneinu, Baruch malkeinu, Baruch moshienu. Atzahu Eloheinu, Atzahu Adoneinu, Atzahu malkeinu, Atahu Moshienu. Together, you are our God, you are our Lord, you are our King, you are our Savior. Please remain standing as we close with your Aaronic benediction. Please join us downstairs in a couple of minutes for some time together at Onik. Yivarechach Adonai Ve'yismarecha Ya'e Adonai p'nav elecha v'ichunecha Yisa Adonai p'nav elecha Ve'yasem lecha Shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Shabbat Shalom.